Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. Listen now to the word of God. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." John 13, 12, 15, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before I go into today's message. God, would you speak to us today in a voice so clear that we wouldn't miss it? Would you challenge us? Would you convict us? Would you move us from where we're standing to the place where you want us to go? Lord, it is your word that gives us direction. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. So Lord, help us to not keep our eyes closed. Help us not to walk around blindly, but Lord, that we would follow where you lead. Lord, we thank you. We trust you in all this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. In my life, I look kind of young. Maybe I don't look young anymore. Some of my friends said that I've been getting older this past year. But I look young, but I'm an 80s baby. And I know for some of you, that's offensive, but I'm an 80s baby. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and so the people that I look up to, my sports heroes, are different from this generation of kids. These days, kids like LeBron James, they like Stephen Curry. That's not my jam. Those are not the people that I look up to. When I was growing up, I looked up to Michael Jordan, and there was just something about him, and even when I didn't really know a lot about basketball, I remember watching him. Back then, it was NBC. It was NBA on NBC. And I used to watch his games. And he wasn't my hometown player. I never grew up in Chicago. I didn't, you know, know much about him. But when I watched him, I said, "That's a basketball player." I said, "Man, I feel like God created him to be a basketball player. He made him like the perfect frame. Everything he does looks just looks natural. He looks like a basketball player." And so, you know, naturally growing up, you know, I idolized him, and I always thought to myself, you know, "God, can you just make me 6'6"? Can you just help me to grow to 6 feet tall and 6 inches so that I could be like Mike? See, there was a popular ad, and it was run by Gatorade, and it became really popular in the 90s, and it was just "Be like Mike," and they made a little jingle about it, and I was like, "I want to be like Mike." And so one of the amazing things that my parents did for me when I was young was they built a little basketball court in my backyard. It's still there today, and I used to go out there and practice every single day, at least for 4 hours. I'd be outside playing basketball every day. And of course, when I was out there, who was I emulating? Of course, Michael Jordan. And so, you know, I was a little embarrassed to do it in front of people, but when no one was looking, I would let my tongue hang out, and I would, like, do all the moves that he did. And there's this one thing, actually, that he does that I still do. When I play basketball today, I still do it. When Michael Jordan takes his free throws, he stands at the line, and he spins the ball backwards in his hands. He just spins it like this right before he shoots. And I watched that as a kid, and I didn't even know I was doing it. But I realized later on, that's how I shoot my free throws. That's how I shoot when I shoot my shot. I spin the ball in my hand backwards, and then I do a little bounce just the way that he did, and then I try to shoot. Of course, my form is not as good as his, but I picked up on things from watching him because I looked up to him. It wasn't something that was enforced on me. No one told me, you know, if you want to be a basketball player, you have to act and play like Michael Jordan. No, but because I idolized him in a way, because I looked up to him, his behavior or his mannerisms became my mannerisms. And, you know, Judy's here, but I know you guys know that I grew up a Yankees fan, and I really, really liked Don Mattingly when I was growing up. I was like, "Man, he's the captain, and there's something about his leadership that I really loved, and he played hurt. Whenever he was injured, he would still play." And I said, "Oh, that's the kind of leader that I would want to be." And so when I was growing up, I wanted to play first base. So anytime I played softball with my friends, I was like, hey, I'm playing first base because of Don Mattingly. And then I found out that in order to play first base, you have to be kind of big because they need a big target. And they were throwing to me, and my team members were like, you can't play first base anymore. You're such a small target, and we keep throwing over your head. And so there were some limitations to my physique and my stature that didn't allow me to play first base. But luckily, I started following Derek Jeter, and he became my favorite player, and I started playing shortstop. And I was good at it, so my friends kept placing me there. But there are things that Jeter does, again, that I kind of emulated. Maybe because my eyes were fixed on him. Maybe because when I saw the team, he stood out to me. And even if they were standing all in the field, I would go to Yankee games. And I didn't even know I was doing this. But there are other people on the field. But my eyes would remain on the shortstop. And I'd watch what Jeter's doing, which way he's moving. And I would think to myself, okay, he's shifting left because it's a lefty. He's shifting to his left because a lefty's up. He's shifting to the right, deeper into the hole because a righty's hitting. And there are little things that I picked up on and I tried. You know, it made me so excited to play softball with my friends because I wanted to try the things that he did. You see, that's normal. That's natural, I think. When you look up to someone, you want to be like them. You want to take on their behaviors. If you know me well, you know that probably one of my biggest influences in my life, the person that I look up to the most, potentially here on earth, is my grandfather. And he's an amazing man. The way that people talked about him and the way that he carried himself, his reputation was just, even as like a 3-year-old, 4-year-old child, I looked at him and I was like, man, I want to be like my grandfather. Like one day I want to be like my grandfather. And so one of the stories that I thought of when preparing the sermon was he used to take me fishing a lot. On Saturday mornings, he'd wake me up really early in the morning. Sometimes he'd wake me up at like 4 a.m. and no business being woken up at 4 a.m. as like a 6-7-year-old child. But he'd wake me up that early and he'd take me fishing. And one of the things that was different about my grandfather and I is I fish the other way. So if you guys know a little bit about fishing, you can put the reel on either side. You can reel with your left hand or you can reel with your right hand. And so I fish kind of backwards for a righty. And as a kid, for some reason, it was just more comfortable that way. But because I looked at my grandfather and I saw the way that he fished, I kept trying to fish like him. And he was like, just do it the way you're comfortable. Like, stop being stubborn. Like, just do it the way you're comfortable. Leave it. But I'm like, no, I'm going to fish like this. And it would be awkward for me. Whenever I was reeling in a fish, it would take me longer than doing it the way that I felt comfortable. But just for some reason, inside of me, that was right to me. I was like, you know, I just want to fish like my grandfather fishes. And it might be uncomfortable for me. It's not natural to me, but that's what I do so that I could be a little bit more like him. And that's something that kind of stuck with me. And I got reminded of it. And so I actually, preparing the sermon, it was pretty emotional for me, thinking about those fishing trips with my grandfather. But today, in today's passage, what we read about is what Jesus did with his disciples before the things, you know, maybe the things that we kind of highlight in church, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, you know, before those things were going to happen, he took his disciples aside and he did something very strange, you know, very odd, to the point where it stands out, it stood out. And to the point where people didn't know how to react. For those of you who know the story, Jesus gathers the disciples together, and it was before the Passover feast. He sits them down, and he gets down, and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And that, if you have heard this preached before, it's not what a teacher would do. It's not what a fully grown male who has stature in society would do for other people. And so you can see this in the reaction of the disciples. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? You see, it was the job of a slave, of a servant. Someone, you know, that doesn't have status, that doesn't have the stature that Jesus had. And yet he gets down and he washes their feet. And it's that image that kind of stays in my mind. And it's that image that I want and I hope will stay in your minds. Because today, more than me just preaching, more than me just sharing a message, really what I want to do is I want to challenge you. I want to make this a little bit more personal, a little bit more practical. And so I want you to think of something. And I know it's very easy to not do it because I'm not going to like go around the room to check everyone. But this is something that I wanted to do in the message. What is the equivalent in modern day, right now, in your context, with the people around you? What is the equivalent of washing the feet of the disciples? You see, don't leave that just as a hypothetical. Think about things right now. In modern day society, what is the equivalent thing as to washing the feet of a disciple? A lowly thing, a thing that's reserved for servants, something where you place yourself on purpose below someone else and you serve them, you raise them up, you honor them. And really, I mean it. Think of something. Think of something concrete, something that comes to mind, people that come to mind. Think of those things right now. Today, what is that? What is the equivalent of washing the feet of the disciples? In your communities, in your families, among your friends, in your context, whatever it is, think of those things right now. Now, whatever you thought of, whatever you're thinking of, and whatever you will think of, the challenge or the question that I have for you is, are you doing those things? Have you been doing those things? Are you living that life? You see, Jesus didn't just wash their feet because their feet were dirty. What does he say? He says, I have done this as an example for you. See, that's something that really kind of pierced me as I was reading the passage today, I have done this as an example. And, you know, it's very easy and it's very common that in church you hear, you know, Christ is our example. He is the role model. He's who I want to be. We got to be like Christ. In what ways do you look like Christ to the people around you? In what ways, to the people that you meet on the streets even, do you reflect Christ's image? When I shoot a free throw, people go, ah, he's trying to be like Michael Jordan. And when I take the field and I take my stance, they go, ah, he's copying Derek Jeter. He likes Derek Jeter. In our daily lives, they need to be able to see us and say, that person is trying to be like Christ. That person has Christ inside of his heart or her heart. You see, and if we're not doing that, then we're not following Christ's example. It's easy to say things with your mouth. It's easy to say things with words. If there aren't people who are challenging you and checking you and making sure that you're following through on your words, it's easy to say something. And in churches, we say it a lot. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We have to start doing it. You have to examine your heart. You have to think about the context you're in. Whatever comes to mind when you think about what is it, what does it mean in my life to wash the feet of others? What does it mean for me to put myself in a position that's lower than where I am and to serve others, to love others, to humble myself? Concrete things that come to mind, we have to start doing it. One of the problems of the church is that the church doesn't look like the church to the outside world. We say a lot of things, but we don't do it. And so they don't see that it connects, that it matches up. And that's where criticisms like, oh, they're hypocrites, or they just say a lot of things, or they just want to act nice or look nice. See, those are the types of criticisms that we hear about the church. But what if the church started taking seriously washing the feet of others? And what if people saw that we were following the example of Christ? I tell you the truth, it's so attractive that they'll start asking questions to themselves. Why do they live like that? What inside of them causes them to act that way? and to love that way, to serve that way, to humble themselves in that way. We are God's children. It's something to remember. And in a sense, because we are God's children, we are royalty. We are, you know, above, maybe. In some ways, we are special people because God is with us, God loves us. But you humble yourself, you serve, you love, and you do whatever it takes to make the other person feel honored. That's so important, I think. Particularly as we have a missions trip coming up, it kind of connected into my mind. And a lot of times on missions, what ends up happening is you take kind of a top-down approach. You almost look at people that you go to the missions field and meet almost as like below yourself. So you're like, oh, I'm better off than you. I have more than you. I have more resources than you. And so let me here just throw you some crumbs, or, you know, let me help you out for a little while, or, and you know, that might make you feel good. But how in that context, what in that context would be the equivalent of washing their feet, of serving them the way that the Lord served his disciples? And he said, I know who I am. I'm not confused right now. I'm not below you. I'm not your servant. I'm not a slave. I am Lord. I am teacher. And rightly so. But this is what I do for you. And because I do it, you should do it for each other. This is the example that I have set, that you should do as I have done for you. What Christ has done for us, we should be doing to one another. That is the life of a Christian. And when the world sees that, then I know that that their perception and their perspective on the church will change. People of God, that is something that we need to take seriously. And that is a challenge that I offer to you today, and something that you need to start practicing. It doesn't come all at once, maybe. You have to start with small things. But when you get in the habit of washing the feet of others, of following the example of Christ, that's when we start on that road towards becoming more like Christ. And more, it becomes a part of who we are, and we take on that identity. And I know that this world requires a lot of healing. It requires a lot that the church can do, that the people of God, if we stood up and we did these things together, we could bring so much restoration. We could bring so much reconciliation. We can heal broken hearts. We can give hope to the hopeless. Church of God, whatever was placed in your mind, whatever was placed in your heart, I pray that you will have the strength and the conviction to go and start putting into practice. This is what we are called to, and this is your challenge today. Let us pray. God, we look to you because you are the perfect example. Not what the world says. Not what we're influenced by through culture. Not what we get fed to us through the media. But Lord, your life, your words, that is the example that we want to follow. You are our leader. Lord, help us to follow well. Help us to imitate you in a way that gives glory to your kingdom. We thank you, God. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Help us to not be so set in our ways that we're not willing to try different things. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All together.